Okay, we're ready to start.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jody, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. Contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, let's have a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We would like to welcome you to Back to the 40s, how Alcoholics Anonymous worked in the 1940s, more than 50 years ago. After the publication of the Big Book, the recovery rate from alcoholism within the fellowship of AA was 75%. AA's program, as practiced then, was quite different from the program that is practiced today. That is, the AA program is unchanged, but the way it is practiced has changed. To produce such an astonishing recovery rate, what was done in the early days of AA? Well, this is what we are going to do. We are going to take an in-depth look of how Alcoholics Anonymous worked in the 1940s. We've asked a designated person to read the AA preamble as it appears in the first edition of the Big Book in 1939.
We are not an organization in the conventional sense of the word. There are no fees or dues whatsoever. The only requirement for membership is an honest desire to stop drinking. We are not allied with any particular faith, sect, or denomination, nor do we oppose anyone. We simply wish to be helpful to those who are affected.
I'm your illness. I hate meetings. I hate higher power. I hate anyone who has a program. To all who come in contact with me, I wish you death and I wish you suffering. Allow me to introduce myself. I am the illness of alcoholism. Cunning, baffling, and powerful. That's me. I have killed millions and I am pleased. I live to catch you with the element of surprise. I love pretending I am your friend and lover. I have given you comfort, have I not? Wasn't I there when you were lonely, when you wanted to die? Didn't you call me? I was there. I love to make you hurt. I love to make you cry. Better yet, I love it when I make you so numb, that you can neither hurt nor cry. You can't feel anything at all. This is the true glory. I will give you instant gratification, and I will ask you is long-term suffering. I've been there for you always. When things were going right in your life, you invited me. You said you didn't deserve these good things, and I was the only one who would agree with you. Together, we were able to destroy all things good in your life. People don't take me seriously. They take strokes, heart attacks, even diabetes seriously. Fools that they are. They don't know that without my help, these things would not be made possible. I am such a hated illness, and yet I do not come uninvited. You choose to have me. So many have chosen me over reality and peace. I, more than you, hate me. I hate all of you who have the 12-step program. Your program, your meetings, your higher power all weaken me, and I can't function in the manner I am accustomed to. Now I must lie here quietly. You don't see me, but I am growing bigger than ever. When you only exist, I may live. When you live, I only exist. But I am here until we meet again. If we meet again, I wish you death and suffering.
Welcome to the fifth and final class of Back to the 40s, how Alcoholics Anonymous worked in the 1940s. We have been taking the steps as they were taken back in the 40s. Our teacher has been the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is our textbook for recovery. We learned early that we are suffering from an illness which only a spiritual solution will conquer. We are well onto our way of spiritual awakening, which will produce the personality change that will bring about our recovery from alcoholism. Before we get into this class, which is about the growth steps of 10, 11, and 12, let's look at our progress so far. In the first class, we made two admissions.
Number one.
That we were alcoholic.
Number two.
That we could not manage our lives, that we had learned that we had a physical allergy and a mental obsession, an illness called alcoholism, and the only relief is the entire abstinence. In the second class, we answered two questions.
Number one.
We were willing to believe in a power greater than ourselves, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power which is God.
Number two.
We were willing to surrender ourselves to whatever concept we had of God. We learned that God was within us and we needed to make contact with Him. Also, we discovered the things that were blocking us off from God, that we explored paramount importance of sitting in counsel with God and another, sharing our life and story. In the third and fourth class, we learned that our real work begins here. We had to have God's help and all of His loving advisors through the rest of the steps if we're going to change for the better. Also, we learned we must make restitution for harms done, to do our part in eliminating our defects of character and shortcomings. So this is where we are tonight.
Welcome. First, step 10.
We're going to learn about personal inventory.
Second, step 11.
We're going to learn about contact with God.
Third, step 12.
We're going to explore the exact, precise result of the 12 steps. At this time, we pass around a central bulletin from 1943.
Don't have it.
The early AA dudes told us to take steps 1 through 9 once and to take 10, 11, and 12 daily for the rest of our lifetime. Steps 1 through 9 bring us into recovery and get us sober. They do not keep us sober. 10, 11, and 12 keep us sober through spiritual principles of perseverance.
Which is step 10?
The spiritual principles of awareness and belief.
Which is step 11?
The spiritual principles of love and service.
Which is step 12?
That's how it was done back in the 40s, and it worked. Consider this in chapter 5, how it works, page 59 to 60. The 12 steps are really displayed. If you look closely, you will find some interesting facts. Notice the words continued, sought, and improved, carry, and practice. These key actions in step 10, 11, and 12 are the daily reprieve, as the book calls it, our actions that we do in the now time frame. According to the Big Book, we do steps 1 through 9 once, then do steps 10, 11, and 12 for the rest of our lifetime. Let's listen to step 10 from the 1944 pamphlet.
Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. In coming to AA, we usually have a pretty big inventory to work on, as in step 4, 8, and 9. But even after that, we will not be perfect. We have a long way to go. We will continue to make mistakes and will be inclined to do some more work, wrong thinking and wrongdoing. So at intervals, we continue to take inventory. Where the purpose is to check our progress, we certainly cannot be perfect, so that the need for regular inventory is appropriate. These inventories are personal. We can find the inventory to ourselves. We are the ones who needs it. Never mind the other fellow. He, too, is probably troubled and will have to make his own inventory. When we make these inventories, probably the best way to start is to go over one by one each of the 12 steps and try to discover what in these steps we are not following. The businessman has to make a physical inventory from time to time. We have to make a personal inventory of ourselves from time to time if we want to recover from a serious mental illness. Let's open to page 84, line 16 for step 10. And here we have a timeline. This is to step 10, page 84, line 16.
Are you there? You got it? Chapter 6, Into Action.
This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests...
And here we have beginning... Sorry.
Yeah. And here we have beginning with the next line, the explanation of step 10, which reads...
We continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit.
Followed by the 10th step requirements.
Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness.
Another timeline tells us...
This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime.
Next, we are given the 10-step directions.
Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear.
Which is step 4.
When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them.
Which are steps 6 and 7.
We discuss them with someone immediately.
Which is step 5.
And make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone.
Which is steps 8 and 9. Remember, from pages 77, line 3, we studied that our real purpose is to be fit, is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and people about us. Continually reading on that same line.
Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone who can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
The 10th step is actually using the following steps daily as needed. Steps 4 through 9. This daily action, though the spiritual principle of perseverance, provides growth in understanding and effectiveness in our personal lives. This is how God wants us to live. To stay sober and to keep spirituality mentally, emotionally, socially, physically, all L-Y words. To live to good purpose under all conditions on our ongoing basis. And as a precise result of this daily action to step 10, this is what happens. The 10th step promises. Go to the last paragraph on that same page. Here we have the 10th step promises. Reader.
And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned.
This is where step 10 is completed. We are restored to sanity, so we don't really take step 2. Step 2 takes us. Got it? We don't really take step 2. Step 2 takes us. Our belief and hope in God has paid off. Let's continue reading the 10 step promises. Same line on same page.
We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitudes toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of
neutral.
Safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. This is our experience. This is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
And here we have a warning, semicolon. Remember that our lives are always in balance. Got it? Go to the next paragraph on that same page.
It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into our activities. How can I best serve Thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
We gave our will and our lives over to the care of God in step 3 when we decided to go through with the steps. Now, in step 10, He gives our will and our lives back because we know what to do. That's underlined, okay? We know what to do. To fit ourselves to be of maximum service, big deal, to God and to people about us. We cannot stay sober on the past actions we took in steps 1 through 9. The steps that brought us this far, we cannot keep sober on yesterday's spiritual experience. We must create new spiritual experiences daily. So this fit spiritual condition is only temporary. This daily action of step 10 is one-third on the way to create the temporary condition. One-third of the precise way that we daily reprieve. Let's take step 10 together. For all of those who have done this work so far, we can take step 10 by repeating the quote on page 85, lines 19 and 20. I'll give you some time. 85, 19 and 20. It goes, "How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done." That is step 10. But the step 10 alone won't keep us in spiritual condition. Turn to page 85. Look to the next to the last paragraph on 85. Here the book gives us a summary of an overview of where we are in the recovery process.
Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action.
So in summary of everything we've done, steps 1 through 10, the book tells us, quote, "If we have carefully followed these precise decisions, we will have received the following spiritual gifts, : strength, inspiration, direction, knowledge, power, His Spirit, God consciousness, and that has begun to develop this vital sixth sense." The timeline says we must go further, more action. Let's move on to step 11. Step 11.
Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out.
Let's consider these 3 points. Point number 1.
We pray each night, every night, a prayer of thanks.
Point number 2.
We pray each morning, every morning, for help and guidance.
Point number 3.
When we are lonely, confused, and uncertain, we pray. Most of us find it well too.
And here we have 8 items to consider. Number 1.
Choose for each day a quiet time to meditate on the program, on your progress in it.
Number 2.
Keep conscious contact with God and pray to make the contact closer.
Number 3.
We pray that our will be laid aside and that God's will direct us.
Number 4.
Pray for calmness, quiet, relaxation, and rest.
Number 5.
Pray for strength and courage to enable us to do the day's work today.
Number 6.
Pray for forgiveness for yesterday's errors.
Number 7.
Ask for hope for better things tomorrow.
Ta-da! Number 8.
Pray for what we feel we need. We will not get what we want. We will get what we need. What is good for us? Let's look at step 11 in the big book. Last paragraph, page 85. Here we have some requirements. These are definite and valuable requirements.
Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly.
Next, we have one of the promises given to us to explore step 11. Let's continue on that same line.
It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it.
Next, on that same line, the book warns us not to take this lightly, that prayer and meditation are precise and of major importance.
It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we must make some definite and valuable suggestions.
Prayer and meditation is simply spending time with God as you understand Him. Prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening to God. Prayer and meditation is putting God on everything. So what is our part or purpose in doing this prayer and meditation daily? To gain wisdom to know the difference between God's will for us and our will for us. To feed ourselves with spiritual nourishment and to allow God to guide us. The sentiment down through the ages has been summed up in this saying, pray or become prey. P-R-E-Y is the second one. Got it? So these are the directions on how to continue to build our way to being spiritually fit for one day. Let's continue to look at step 11. Notice that the book is directing us to steps 10, 11, and 12. And here we have a timeline explanation, requirements, and directions to create that daily reprieve. We're going to begin on page 86, line 5.
When we retire at night, we constructively review our day.
Next is step 4.
Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid?
Followed by steps 8 and 9.
Do we owe an apology?
And next we have step 5.
Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person or our sponsor at once?
And the following questions are on step 4.
Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Of what we could pack into the stream of life?
And here we have a warning.
But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others.
Next, we have steps 6 and 7 and the forgiveness prayer.
After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and require what corrective measures should be taken.
The paragraph we just studied is actually step 10, which, as we read earlier in steps 4 through 9 daily, as needed. Next, we have another timeline and some more directions. Next paragraph on that same page. Again, let us remind ourselves to just follow along, moving across and down the page a little bit at a time.
On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day before we begin.
And here we have the thinker's prayer.
We ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives.
Next, we have a promise, one of many results of step 11.
Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance.
Followed by a major requirement.
For after all, God gives us brains to use.
Another promise.
Our thought, life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives.
Next, we have another timeline and some more directions. Last paragraph on the same page, 86.
In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take.
Here we have indecision prayer. Duh.
Here we ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or decision.
More requirements.
We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle.
Another promise.
We're often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while.
So let's continue our study on step 11, page 87, line 1. And we have here another promise.
Page 87, line 1.
What used to be the hunt or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind.
Now we have another warning.
Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas.
Followed by a promise.
Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it.
Next paragraph on the same page, we have another timeline and some more precise directions.
We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer.
And here we have all day's prayer.
That we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped.
Another warning.
We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
Near next paragraph, we have some options for step 11.
If circumstances warrant, we ask our wiser friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not, members of religious bodies, we sometimes select to memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Make use of what they offer.
So pray, read, write, and get advice. More directions and another timeline. Last paragraph on the same page.
As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful.
So we got the doubter's prayer.
And ask for the right thought or action.
A requirement.
We constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show.
The all-purpose prayer.
Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, Thy will be done.
Another promise.
We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly, as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves.
Next line, we have a major promise for step 11. It works. It really does. Next line, we have a major fact for us alcoholics.
We alcoholics are undisciplined.
Same line, we have a major requirement now to sobriety.
So we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined.
Next line, we find the timeline to step 12, also a major warning to sobriety.
But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead.
Amen.
The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12.
So, in summary, step 11 is an exclusive relationship with God. Exclusive relationship, a life of prayer and meditation. Step 11 equips us to live in harmony and to rightly relate ourselves to God and our fellows. Step 11 also prepares us through principles of awareness and belief to be some value to some drunk along the line or along the road. Study this book. Don't just read it. It gives us clear-cut directions on how to find that power, on how to use the power, and how to keep the power that is greater than us, God. So let's take step 11 together. We will have a moment of silence, meditation, and listen to God's guidance, then God's mission. Right now we have 1 minute of silence. You're up, Brian.
Step 12. Having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
This step logically separates into three parts. Part number one, the spiritual experience.
The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakenings used here in the Book of Alcoholics Anonymous means, upon careful reading, that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many forms. Do not get the impression that these personal changes or spiritual experiences must be in the nature of sudden or spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what psychologist William James calls of the educational variety, because they develop slow over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the differences long before he himself. The new man gradually realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner source, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance and belligerent denial. We find, too, that no one need have difficulty with the spiritual principles. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable.
Part number two, carry the message to others.
This means exactly what it says. Carry the message actively, bring it to the man who needs it. We do it in many ways.
And here we have 11 requirements to follow. A.
By attending every meeting of our own group.
B.
By making calls.
C.
By speaking at group meetings.
D.
By supporting our group financially to make group meetings possible.
E.
By assisting at meetings.
F.
By setting a good example of complete sobriety.
G.
By owning and loaning newcomers a copy of the AA Big Book.
H.
By encouraging those who find the way difficult.
I.
By serving as an officer or on group committees or special assignment when asked.
J.
By doing all of our foregoing cheerfully and willfully.
K.
We do many or all of the foregoing at some sacrifice to ourselves with definite thought of developing unselfishness in our own character.
Part number three, we practice these principles in all our affairs.
The last part of step 12 is the real purpose that all of the 12 steps lead to, a new way of life, a design for living. It shows how to live rightly, think rightly, and to achieve happiness.
How do we go about it? Here we have 7 components for sobriety. A.
We resolve to live our lives one day at a time, just 24 hours.
B.
We pray each day for guidance for that day.
C.
We pray at night, thanking for the day.
C.
We resolve to keep our heads and to forego any anger, no matter what situation arises.
E.
We are patient.
F.
We keep calm, relaxed.
G.
Now, and most important, whatever little ordinary situation, as well as big situations arise, we look at it calmly and fairly with an open mind. Then act on it in exact accordance with the simple, true principles that AA has taught and will teach us. In other words, our sobriety is only a correction of our worst and most evident faults. Our living each day accordingly to the principles of AA will also correct all of our other lesser faults and will gradually eliminate one by one all of the defects of our characters that cause friction, discontent, and unhappy rebellious moods that lead right back to our chief fault of drinking. Let's go to page 89, line 1. And the book tells us of some more promises to look forward to as we continue to build our way to a daily reprieve. The 12-step promises, page 89, line 1.
Here the book tells us the major requirements for sobriety, which just happens to be the major promise for sobriety, beginning on page 89, line 1, chapter 7, working with others.
Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics.
Followed by another major promise.
It works when other activities fail.
And the directions read,
this is our 12th suggestion. Carry the message to other alcoholics.
What message? The chapter, the doctor's opinion, the first 103 pages of this book. Let's read the rest of step 12 promises. Continue on line 5.
You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember that they are very ill. Life will take on new meanings. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot in our lives.
The rest of this chapter is clear-cut directions on how to work with other alcoholics. It is a sponsor's guide. Let's take a look at the directions. They are very clear, so when we go back with other alcoholics, you'll be armed with the facts. Let's begin on the same page, line 23. Here we have a major fact and some major requirements for step 12.
Because of your own drinking experience, you can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics. So cooperate, never criticize. To be helpful is our only aim.
Now go to page 90, line 1, to continue to read and study step 12.
Page 90, line 1.
When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity.
It's been said that whatever gets your attention first gets you. So we just plant the seed, ta-da, and realize at least that you've ruined their drinking. Go to step 12, or go to line 12.
Put yourself in his place to see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned.
Each and every alcoholic, sober or not, teaches us very valuable lessons about ourselves and about our personal recovery. Carrying the message is always a win-win situation. We have nothing to lose except our egotism. So humbly and gratefully, we considerably carry AA's message. Go to the last paragraph.
If he does not want to see you, never force yourself upon him.
We carry the message. We don't force it. Some of us change when we see the light. Most of us change when we feel the heat. Go to page 91, line 18. 1, 2, 3, 4.
See your man alone if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself if he wishes to talk. Let him do so.
We gain their confidence. Remember that the one who makes light of things is the least likely to stumble around in the dark. Go to page 92, line 1.
Page 92, line 1.
There's an echo in here.
Tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree.
We share our story. We tell of the obsession of the mind and the insanity of the first drink. It's been said that an alcoholic is like a whiskey bottle. All neck and no belly and no head. Interesting analogy, wouldn't you say? Go to line 15.
And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion.
Prospects learn self-honesty in their own time. Remember, recovery is an inside job. Go to line 21.
Speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of the body and the mind which accompany it.
We tell of the allergy, the obsession, the phenomenon of craving, that alcoholism is an illness, affliction, and a malady that carries over into sobriety. Go to page 93, line 3.
93, line 3.
Tell him exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man is agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself, and that he live by spiritual principles.
It is easier to stay out of a situation than it is to get out of a situation. So I repeat that. It is easier to stay out of a situation than it is to get out of a situation. So we stay out of controversy. What is that? Gossip. Go to page 94, line 4.
Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery.
We talk of the steps, the solution, and our honest motives. Realize this. Eventually, that's the L-Y word. Eventually, every alcoholic takes their last drink. Those of us in AA, sober, have lived to tell others about it. Go to the last paragraph.
Your candidate may give reasons why he need not follow all of the program. He may rebel at the thought of a drastic house cleaning, which requires discussing with other people. Do not contradict such views. Tell him you once felt as he does, but you doubt whether you would have made much progress had you not taken action.
When we first come to AA, we heard people talking about things that we personally were trying to keep everyone else from finding out about. Doug. Go to page 95, line 8.
Page 95, line 8.
You will be more successful with alcoholics if you do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. Never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kid of spiritual tools for his inception. Show him how they worked for you. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help.
We do not lecture. We look him in the eye, give him a copy of the big book, tell him our story, tell him to go to meetings. The only time we look down at another alcoholic is when we're bending over him to help him up.
Oh, yeah. Clarity.
Go to the next paragraph.
If he is not interested in your solution, if he expects you to act only as a banker for financial difficulties or a nurse for his sprees, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind.
We do not enable Al-Anon. When we first came to AA, we knew the price of everything, but the value of absolutely nothing. Go to the last paragraph.
If he thinks he can do the job in some other way or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience.
We support and encourage them. From page 31, line 12. I'm going to quote, if anyone is showing inability to, quote, to control his drinking, can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. And just as a personal note, we've taken our hats off at many grave sites. Go to page 96, line 4.
Page 96, line 4.
We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you.
Sponsorship is a two-way street. Bingo. Cooperation is essential. Remember that sometimes prospects just get homesick for hell. Go to line 16. It's hell.
He has read this volume and says he is prepared to go through with it. The 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Let him know you're available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story, but do not insist upon it. If he prefers to consult someone else.
We offer them temporary sponsorship. Back when we were drinking, we didn't care much who we drank with. Ironic that we can be particular about who we're going to get sober with. Duh. Go to page 97, line 3.
Page 97, line 3.
Never avoid these responsibilities, but be sure you are doing the right thing if you assume them. Helping others is a foundation stone of your recovery.
Ask yourself, is it helpful or harmful? Remember this, when I help another dig their way out of their own trouble, the hole that is left over is the grave of my own sorrow. Go to line 25.
Though an alcoholic does not respond, there is no reason why you should neglect his family.
Alcoholism has many faces, many casualties. It is a family illness. Besides, our aim is only to be helpful, not conditional. Go to 98 on line 2.
What he said. Page 98, line 2, sorry.
The men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track.
This is the wrong approach. On page 64, lines 27 and 28, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically, the best promise in the book. Go to line 8.
It is not the matter of giving that is in the question, but when and how to give. That often makes a difference between failure and success. Learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon others ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house.
Now this is the right track from pages 52, line 26 and 27, and I quote, our ideas did not work, but God's idea did. Think about this. For most alcoholics, Skid Row is between their ears. 99, line 10.
Page 99, line 10.
These things will come to pass naturally and in good time provided. However, the alcoholic continues to demonstrate that he can be sober, considerate, and helpful, regardless of what anyone says or does.
We tell them that it takes time and don't give up before the miracle happens. And besides, we didn't get drunk with everyone out there, so we're not going to get sober with everyone in there. Go to the last line on this page.
Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God.
God is everything. He is the solution. Period. Go to line 5.
Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen.
What we just read is one of the finest descriptions of sponsorship in this book. Food for thought. If you want to leave footprints in the sand, be sure to wear your boots, your work boots. Last paragraph.
Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do.
From page 85, lines 16, 17, and 18, and I quote, What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. We have recovered, ED. Go to line 101, page 7. No.
You messed it up.
On purpose.
Page 101, line 7.
We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status.
We change ourselves to meet life's conditions. It is not the other way around. Remembering always that our problems occur from the inside out. It's been said that if you find yourself in a hole, all you have to do is stop digging. Go to line 23.
So our role is not to avoid a place where there is drinking, if we have a legitimate reason for being there.
Anyone can get drunk. It takes effort to be an alcoholic. The point is that we are pursuing spiritual principles and motives in step 12. Ask yourself, is it God's will, good will, or my will, or ill will? Go to page 102, line 3.
But be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start, and that your motive is going is thoroughly good. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. But if you are shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead.
The difference between a stumbling block and a stepping stone is how you use it. Think about it. No. Go to line 23.
Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed.
Let's consider this analogy of AA's program of recovery from alcoholism. We made an application for the job in steps 1, 2, and 3. We made a resume of the job in step 4. We made an interview for the job in step 5. We made a trial period of employment for the job in steps 6, 7, 8, and 9. And now our job description is steps 10, 11, and 12 daily. The daily reprieve, the job title is Recovered Alcoholic. The place of employment, the firing line of life, and the job is sobriety. Go to page 103, line 3.
Page 103, line 3.
We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every new alcoholic looks for the spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners.
We are all, as recovered alcoholics, living examples of spiritual principles, ideas, and attitudes. We are individual, AA. We are God's loving advisors and loving sponsors. The definition of what AA is all about is simply the art of helping another alcoholic grow up without putting them down. Let's continue on line 14.
Someday, we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the alcoholic problem. But we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. Drinkers will not stand for it. After all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to.
Remember always that alcoholism comes in people, not bottles. So as members of AA, it is our duty to carry the AA's message that is in this book and to keep that message pure. There's more than meets the eye when it comes to alcoholism. Be careful carrying AA's message and not your own mess. Just another bit of food for thought. The difference between us and God is that God doesn't try to play us. Now let's have some final thoughts about the AA program of recovery. Page 164, line 12. Major promise.
I hope you're on page 164 and we're on line 12.
God will constantly disclose more to you and to us.
Followed by a 12-step prayer.
Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick.
Next, we have a major promise and some warnings to the daily reprieve and the fifth spiritual condition.
The answers will come if our own house is in order.
Next major warning in step 10.
But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got.
Followed by a major warning to step 11.
See to it that your relationship with him is right.
Here we have another major promise to step 12.
And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us.
Now the next paragraph contains the whole deal. The timeline requirements, directions, and explanations of sobriety of step 11, which reads,
abandon yourself to God as you understand God.
Next, step 10 reads,
admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past.
And step 12 reads,
give freely of what you give and join us.
And here we are given AA's final promise.
We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the happy road of happy destiny.
And the last line is a simple AA prayer and our hope for all of you.
May God bless you and keep you until then.
This is step 12, the principles of love and service to God and our fellows. This is the highest level of living. Nothing is higher. This is the main reason for our existence. This is why we have been spared, and I quote, we have what the next alcoholic needs, the kind of love that has no price tag. Page 132, chapter 9, the family afterwards.
On page 132, chapter 9 is the family afterwards.
We have been speaking to you of serious, sometimes tragic things. We have been dealing with alcohol in its worst aspect. But we aren't a glum lot. If newcomers could see no joy or fun in our existence, they wouldn't even want it.
And here is another main requirement for sobriety.
We absolutely insist on enjoying life.
Ta-da! Let's continue. Let's get out of the joy here for a second. Here we have a major requirement to Alcoholics Anonymous that simply states, we as Alcoholics Anonymous have one purpose, one requirement, one message, one reason, one single responsibility, and that deals with alcoholics and alcoholism only. Period.
We try not to indulge in cynicism over the state of the nations, nor do we carry the world's troubles on our shoulders. When we see a man sinking into the mire that is alcoholism, we give him first aid and place what we have at his disposal. For his sake, we do recount and almost relive the horrors of our past.
Next, we have another major warning for the individual member that says we cannot be all things to all people.
But those of us who have tried to shoulder the entire burden and trouble of others find we are soon overcome by them.
Mm-hmm. Next paragraph, there's more requirements.
So we think cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst into merriment over a seemingly tragic experience out of the past. But why shouldn't we laugh?
Consider this equation when it comes up to sobriety. Tragedy plus time equals comedy. Tragedy plus time equals comedy. Continue reading on the next line. We have a big payoff here.
We have recovered and we have been given the power to help others.
Let's read it again.
We have recovered and we have been given the power to help others.
Should we read it again? No. Continue the last paragraph, a fact and a requirement.
Everybody knows that those in bad health and those who seldom play do not laugh much. So let each family play together or separately as much as their circumstance warrants.
Another main requirement.
We are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free.
Amen.
Warning. And it's the bottom line to our personal recovery.
We cannot subscribe to the belief that this life is a veil of tears, though it once was just that for many of us. But it is clear that we have made our own misery. God didn't do it.
Final requirement that says, and I quote, adversity is our greatest teacher, and that these are the 12 steps to God.
Avoid, then, the deliberate manufacture of misery. But if trouble comes, cheerfully capitalize it as an opportunity to demonstrate His omnipotence.
Go to page 25, line 4, to sum up AA's program of recovery. This summary says it all.
Page 25, line 4, chapter 2 is, there is a solution.
There is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching and leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for its successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we have been living it. We then, for when we approached by those in whom the problem had been solved.
Stand up. Drop the book. Say the saying, there was nothing left for us but to pick up this simple kit of simple tools laid up at our feet. Pick up the book. Continue reading on line 13.
We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence.
Rocketed.
We have been dreamed. The great fact is just this, and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. The central fact of our life today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we can never do by ourselves.
Welcome to each of you who has completed the 12 steps. Congratulations are in order. May God bless you and keep you as you trudge the road of happy destiny, if you want to trudge. Homework for this class is to read and discuss with your sponsor, pages 84 through 103. If you have any questions, comments, or points of discussion, talk with your sponsor or God.
Or both.